So yesterday, I mentioned in relationship to Nicodemus and Jesus' conversation, which is ongoing, that there's always a natural and a supernatural connection, that God is the same author of the world and of, well, he's not the author of himself, but he makes the world to reflect himself. And so, of course, there's no contradiction between God, the lawgiver of the moral law, and God, the lawgiver of the natural law, and God, the bestower or the revealer of divine law. All of it is meant to be in a harmony. Well, this also means that certain small psychological laws have a much more profound spiritual analog. Today, we get something as simple as what we know as embarrassment. So Jesus says that the light has come into the world, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But this also works, as I said, for embarrassment. Nobody likes their dirty laundry in public. When we're talking and we're meeting with people and we go to those cocktail meetings where you're all eating those finger foods and stuff like that, we're always telling everybody about our financial successes, what our jobs are, how many friends and family we have in high places. And it's just wrong and tawdry to say, oh, by the way, I have a brother whom I don't speak to anymore because we had a huge fight when we were 15 and we never got over it. Oh, by the way, I hate my parents. Oh, and by the way, my kids drive me nuts and I can't even look at them with a straight face. We just don't say those things in polite conversation. And rightly so. You know, like we can't handle each other's business because we can barely handle our own. That's what family's for. And it's funny because I find that with the breakdown of the family, that's why we just have this oversharing. You know, like it's only when a person really knows that their family or their spouse has their back that they can keep a secret. And I found that a sign of a person that sometimes can't keep their counsels to themselves is because they feel that no one listens to them. So the moment they get a chance, they're just, they're just letting it all out. So in this case, what we have is Jesus warns us that the natural inclination that we have to hide our secrets might in fact be the cause of our damnation. And this is huge, because we often grow up and we're taught, and rightly so, that it is not God's desire to condemn. It is not God's desire to condemn. Then why are those? Why are there those who do get condemned? And Jesus' statement is, the Word himself condemns them not directly, but indirectly. That the light is so present that they don't want to come into it, that they themselves isolate themselves from the light because it's too embarrassing. For if we are embarrassed about, you know, our love handles or all those different things that make us feel slightly ashamed, that have no moral significance, how much more do we get uncomfortable with the thought that every sin that you have committed or thought is known to God and the saints? Right now, your patron saint, your God, knows you better than you know yourself. And then to go, no thank you? There should be unease. And this is why one of the most comforting statements in the world is also one of the scariest. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. One small shift in tone makes the comforting statement of the lonely and the sorrowful can also be the most terrifying thought in the world when you're in a dark and cold room and you think you are alone and you realize that you're not. And the presence of the living God should cause us a certain amount of pause, that we might have to start going, okay. This is what we call fear of the Lord, and it's a good thing because it keeps you of a level head. It allows us to stop believing our own propaganda about our own awesomeness. Now, a good symbol of this is what most of you would have driven past just as you're coming over here this morning. There's the construction crews, and they're starting to bash through that road, just Lakeview, not Nelthorpe, but Lakeview. They're starting to smash through it. Because for the last 2 weeks, water has been coming directly from underneath the concrete in little bubbles. It's been happening very gradually over the last few weeks. And of course, when I walked past it, I was like, well, I think my neighbor already saw it, so I'm just going to let it go. I was like, I've got enough construction problems. I'm just not going to handle this right now. The neighbors will do it, right? But of course, evidently, they did call Saanich, and Saanich is now handling it. But this is actually how problems in the world manifest. And usually what prevents us from dealing with it is precisely what I did. I've got enough things to deal with in my life. That little bubbling problem, it's not my problem. One person does it, another person does it, another person does it, another person does it. We hide, we hide, we hide, we hide. And then eventually the road goes... And it's just because one small warning sign went unheeded. Now, this is, in a sense, the great history of spiritual and social corruption throughout human history, where we see a warning sign, we see it's becoming clear that something dangerous is coming around the horizon, and we just don't want to think about it because it's just too horrible to imagine that maybe things aren't as clear and nice as we would have hoped. And we all know from experience that the last thing we want to do is deal with it. And of course, this should also teach us mercy. This should also teach us mercy. Because you know what? If we don't like having our deepest, darkest secrets revealed, please don't do it about other people. Don't. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The judgment of God is both beautiful and scary. This is why God both reveals his presence and hides himself, because he knows that the full weight of his glory is beyond our capacity in this present life to handle. And so we must have a certain amount of zeal in tempering our zeal. That we must work to expose the evils of the world, but we also must know that there's a good chance we might not want ours exposed, and to know the proper sense of timing, to ask the Spirit of God to guide us, to give us this true life, so that we know, and then our heart is just like that of Jesus Christ, that we do not want to condemn, that the only reason judgment exists is so that people may live. For there is a simple rule about sin that is incredibly important. No matter what the crime, the greatest victim is the one who commits it. No matter what the crime, the greatest victim is the sinner himself. Because I may hurt somebody as priest, and I'm pretty sure I've done my fair share of damage. But the person who has really been harmed by it is me not living up to what God is calling me to be. And the only one that suffers that loss is me. Not even God. God is entirely content in himself. He doesn't need us at all. So the only one who suffers from my refusal to be a saint is me. God wants to give it all right now. Boom. But he also doesn't move it too fast. He's slow and he's patient. And this is also why the Christian church is incredibly annoying to people, like the Sadducees in today's first reading. Because they are trying to keep the water from coming up. They're trying to put their hands on the bubbling water coming out from the bottom of the earth. And then they're trying to be able to just stop it. Stop saying this stuff. But you really can't suppress the truth. You just can't. And of course, the apostles get arrested. Eventually, they're martyred. You know, they're liberated from prison more than once. And then the realization comes in. This is God's world. No matter how many times we try to conquer it for ourselves, it is pretty impossible to defeat his purposes. Scripture says it's like kicking against the goad. It's like trying to, if I were to start without a shoe and then to move Sacred Heart by kicking it with my open shoe, it's like that. In the end, the only person who suffers is my foot. But then when we realize that God's plan is not in discord with us, then we open our hearts to whatever it is that he's about to do. We let him judge us because we know that his judgment is merciful, that the only reason he wants to expose our sins is to forgive them.